Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. I'm Robert Lamb.
I'm Julie Douglas.
And as our wonderful theme music fades into the background there, tell me, Julie, how does that music make you feel? What comes to mind?
I gotta tell you, like, there's that sort of thumping.
Yeah.
That really kind of makes me feel a little booty busting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Kind of makes my head nod a little. It has kind of like a... kind of an IDM, intelligent dance music kind of sound to it. It makes me sort of think of like a dark Alice in Wonderland type forest, and there's like all sorts of weird things going on in the darkness, maybe like flashing little points of light, and there's something really amazing going on in the darkness, and you're just kind of wondering, oh my goodness, what's going on out there?
Whoa. Yeah. Like, all I'm talking about is Cossacks shaking, and you've fallen down the rabbit hole. I like that.
Oh, another Lewis Carroll reference there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the great thing about music is it's you know, and this is kind of an overstatement of the obvious here, but it has a profound and varying effect on the listener, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you have any earworms, or are there any instances that you feel like with music that really sort of grabs you by the shirt tails, or?
Oh, well, I mean, I listen to music pretty constantly at work. Like, I don't think I'd get any work done or be able to commute properly if I didn't have music going. And I've also found that, like when it comes to earworms, I will definitely get some like annoying earworms here and there. But most of the earworms I get are more like just the music and not the lyrics.
Oh.
Like even, I think an earworm that a lot of people, may suffer from are, is that that Lady Gaga song? The what is it? The
I don't know.
The rah rah.
Yeah, song. I refuse to let it into my brain. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, well you're fortunate thus far. I mean, I don't know. I kind of like a part of the song, but then the rest of it just kind of like just slams into your head and won't let go, and then you're just trying to shake it out.
Yeah. So that's the problem with earworms.
Yeah.
For me, I've got a couple. Like one that's just a benevolent earworm right now is Ole Tarantula by Robin Hitchcock. So sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, I can hear the harmonica, and it's nice.
That's a good earworm. Most of my earworms, I feel, are good.
Okay, so you're lucky, because I've got one that's I've had for like a decade and I can't shake, and it usually happens like at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't go to sleep, and all of a sudden I can hear the piano going dun 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 dun. It's a hard knock life, and I'm like, no. There's something about that song, and it's the lyrics. So it's interesting that for you, it's not necessarily the lyrics that are haunting you, but that's what music is for me. It's both. It's both the destroyer and the creator.
Yeah. It's also a huge energizer. Like, I think it's interesting how, the scientists pointed out that, like, the slower music, your sad music, your more relaxing music tends to be a lot, slower, and a slower beat going on. And then the faster music, has some sort of, like, really, raucous beat to it. That's what gets you pumped up. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this, if you've ever, put on Eye of the Tiger.
This morning.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Sometimes that's what you need to get out of the house, or to really throw yourself at a project.
Yeah. I do that right before I scale the steps.
Oh, yes.
800 steps near my local park.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, cool. Then you're in the fighting spirit.
Right. No, I get it. I get it. The adrenaline is pumping.
Yeah. I also have this theory that nobody can listen to Staying Alive without altering the way they walk.
But that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing. It's a great song.
I think we should always walk like we're listening to that.
Yeah.
Think about how that would change the world.
Like, imagine if soldiers and people in ROTC, like, if they had to march to Staying Alive, like, it would be an entirely different scene.
That's right. There would be no wars.
Yeah.
Right.
It would just be people styling and looking good.
Yeah. See, that's a good example of how music can change your brain.
Yeah. And when we say change the brain, I mean, it's really amazing what it can do.
Yeah.
And what it does do to all of us, like, every day.
But, like, first, like, what do you think music is? Like, what is it to you? Bare bones.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it, and I kept coming up with kind of elaborate answers. But I actually have to just sort of refer to Webster's on this one, because the Webster's is a very, it's not very creative, but it's, the Webster's definition is pretty succinct. And it just says the science or art of ordering tones or sounds in succession, in combination, and in temporal relationships to produce a composition having unity and continuity. So it's like, it's a series of sounds that make some sort of sense, that have like almost a kind of like a narrative flow to them, even though there are no, characters in a song, unless you're going with some sort of Peter and the Wolf type of motif,
Yeah. Okay. So you have to have rhythm, tone, meter. What else? Sometimes instruments.
Yeah.
A melody. Right.
A little air horn dropped in here and there just for.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like kazoo.
Kazoo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't just sneeze.
Oh.
So I think that's the really cool thing about music, is that it can really be anything.
Yeah. And
across cultures too.
Yeah. I mean, it's a deep part of our cognitive architecture too. As we discussed previously, when we were talking about how aliens would interpret human culture and what really stands out about who we are. Like, music is a huge part of who we are.
Right.
And, it has the power to change our mood, to heighten our emotions.
Well, and the thing, though, that should be noted is that we're not entirely sure how music affects our brains. We're just now getting some data from, the last 10 years?
Yeah, 5 to 10. It's pretty much continues to be an emerging area of study.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty explosive area to look into, or explosive field right now. And you've got cognitive psychologist and linguist Steven Pinker, who's the party pooper on this.
He
thinks that music is just auditory cheesecake, and it's basically like an accident of evolution. Like, hey, guess what? You get to talk and sing.
Yeah. I mean, he at least he's not a complete villain about it. And he's kind of like, I understand wanting to make more out of music than it is, but I don't, That's his whole argument.
Right. And then you have other people on the other side of the coin. They're saying, we've got to make more out of this because of the findings.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting to dive into that and look at the findings and find out how our brains work on music, and specifically, like, when we're listening to music, what's happening inside of our brains.
Right. like just to put things in perspective, like a lot of times, people wonder, is music, is it this thing unto itself, or is it just like the flip side of language? But, there are parts of the brain that respond to music that don't respond to language. And there are separate parts of the brain that respond to the melody of language, that are different from the parts of the brain that respond to music. So it's not just, it's clearly doing unique things to our mind.
Yeah, like if you look at a brain scan, you can see that it's lighting up like a pinball machine, or, as someone had said before in some of the literature I was reading, that it's almost looks like a symphony. There are different parts of the symphony that are queuing up and working in concert.
Yeah, and what they're looking at tends to be blood flow, oxygen flow in the brain. Yeah. Those are the indicators to show that there's something, that there's definite neural activity going on. And I think we've all seen these brain, if you haven't seen it in a movie, you've seen it on, at least channel flipping through, your different documentary channels.
Yeah. And it's pretty fascinating when you do see the brain lighting up like that, because you get to see where the music is entering the ear and it's going into the frontal and temporal lobes and then into the language processing areas. And then the visual cortex lights up. And that's actually really interesting, because that's your brain kind of trying to get a visual bead on the changes in pitch and tone. So it's looking at it in a visual way. It's perceiving that as movement.
Okay. So kind of like when I see the dark forest with the lights in it. Like
exactly.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're already sort of imagining yourself in movement, which is really interesting when you're thinking about music. And then you've got your medial front cortex, and that's where, if you've heard that song before, you get all weepy or you get sad.
Oh, okay. So this is, like, for an example, if I listen to a particularly sad song, during a, like, really depressing episode in my life,
right,
and I tear up listening to it again, or get kind of weird about it if I listen to it again, that's what's going on.
Right, right. Okay. Or if you're, like, sitting there listening to Nick Drake and, it's raining outside or something along those lines, but if you're listening to something that makes you happy, then your brain starts releasing dopamine.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got the reward center occupied as well, which is pretty cool. And one of the things I think is most interesting is that sometimes your neural firing synchronizes to the fundamental frequency of that sound that you're picking up.
Wow. So you would be able to look at it like a live scan of the brain.
Yeah.
And it would essentially be like the visualizer on Windows Media Player.
Right, right. You'd have these neural firings that are like oomst, 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 or something along lines. Maybe you wouldn't, but
like
might.
An eccentric millionaire could like hire a dude to like remain hooked up to a brain scanner.
Yeah.
And could just set that, and that could be his visualizer.
But that's
okay.
Right.
I like that.
If he was going to take it to that other level of entertainment. Yeah, absolutely. I see what you're going to be doing with your first million. But all of this is pointing to the fact that, like you said, there's a lot going on in the brain. There's parts that are lighting up. You've got blood flow. You've got oxygen. And what we're beginning to see is that music is tripping all sorts of switches in our brain and possibly even making us smarter if we engage in certain ways with it. And I think you see that actually with musicians.
Yeah, yeah. There have been some really cool studies into just how musicians' brains appear to work versus non-musician brains. They've done some there have even been some studies where they take a non-musician, give them like a year of like, musical lessons, singing lessons, what have you, and they can see the changes in the neural activity.
Right. And they could be a terrible singer, right?
But, right, yeah.
But the fact that they're exercising this part of the brain means that, they've built up some more muscle there, so to speak.
Yeah, it's really made me rethink, I don't know, I really don't know how musically inclined you are. In terms of instruments, because I took piano lessons, I took like a recorder lesson, I was in like band for like trumpet and French horn, played none of these things well at all. I was, pretty inept at times, especially with the piano, I feel. But I've had to rethink it because I'm thinking like, even though I didn't excel at those things, it got my brain, thinking in a musical way. And maybe that benefited me in the long run.
Right. And in other ways that you might have not even known.
Right.
Yeah. No, well, I'm not really musically inclined. You know, in college, I took my grandfather's saxophone. It's like a 1939 saxophone. It's awesome. And had it restored. And I took lessons. And I was terrible. And I would try to bend the notes. And my music teacher would get really angry and just say, please just, like, learn the notes and do it well. And I thought, well, surely after 6 months, I can sound like Coltrane, right? But that didn't work out. So I got discouraged. But, yeah, like you, I'm rethinking it. I'm thinking, okay, even if I'm terrible at it, maybe this can help me to have a thicker cortex like other musicians. And which just basically means that you've got a lot more activity going on your frontal cortex and the areas of your brain that are responsible for language and planning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another cool thing about musicians. They're better at picking out selective patterns in a room where there might be a cacophony of sound.
Huh.
Yeah, so they kind of have better selective hearing, if you will.
So if you needed someone to, like, spy on somebody in a busy room.
Yes.
Hire the spy that has a musical background.
See, that's why I was thinking I should continue with saxophone lessons, because...
you never know when you're going to have to switch over full-time to that spying career.
Right. Yeah. It's just a good thing to have in your back pocket.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go with the bassoon player.
No. Yeah. No, it's true. But, well, the other thing that all of this is pointing to is, of course, music and children.
Right.
Right. And the fact that children who study and learn music aren't just increasing their motor skills, but they're scoring higher on language tests, and they show an overall improved processing and linguistic centers of the brain. So you have to be engaging in the music, of course. You can't just be a passive listener.
Right.
But that also makes me think of the Mozart effect.
Oh, okay. This is where you play Mozart for an unborn child?
Well, this was the result of a study. That's the interpretation from the results. But the result is that basically it was college students who underwent the study, that when they listened to Mozart, that for some temporal spatial testing, that they actually increased their scores.
Huh.
But it was temporary.
And they were bored.
And they were bored, and they were constructing things out of paper. So that was essentially the test. But people took that, and they ran with it. And, like, Governor Zell Miller of Georgia had mandated that every child born would get a Mozart CD. And so, it wasn't quite that. And I think that's the interesting to point out, that it's not just listening to music. It's engaging in it. That really helps benefit the brain and builds it up quite a bit more.
Right. Thinking musically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the most extreme case of this is probably in some ailments that occur in the brain. Stroke victims, Parkinson's disease, along those lines.
Right. They're able to actually use the music to repair damage, to rebuild the brain in a certain sense.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, Parkinson's, of course your motor system is going to be tripped up.
Right.
With that. And so, music kind of helps the auditory system and the motor system be in concert with each other. So if you've got a Parkinson patient and you put on a rhythm track, that actually helps that person to better coordinate their movements. So again, think about the neurons, firing to a certain beat.
Or like playing Staying Alive, and everybody ends up kind of strutting instead of just walking.
Okay. Right. Yeah, so during physical therapy, you just have to imagine that you're... You're in the movie, walking down the street. You're staying alive.
This presentation is brought to you by Intel, sponsors of tomorrow.
I have to admit, like whenever I go to like a concert or like a big like DJ event, and then the crowd is really into it, I can't help but think of like old Viking movies. Where there's like the guy on the back of the Viking ship, the Viking longboat, like beating on the drum, and everyone's moving in tandem with the drummer, because that's how it feels. It's like one guy, one band or the DJ or whoever. It's like they're controlling everyone, and everyone is just synchronized with this beat, you know?
Yeah, and actually, people who talk about the auditory cheesecake, mm-hmm. they actually point to that experience that you're talking about and say that. Music is actually a way to bring people together. It does have an evolutionary purpose in that if you can get everybody's neurons synchronized in a group,
mm-hmm.
then you can form some sort of basis of cooperation for a community.
Well, that's instantly, and part of this is because I'm rereading Name of the Rose. I can't help but think of a monastic community and the importance of music.
Yeah, yeah, you know, absolutely.
Or, and I imagine any, like, you know, church groups, et cetera, or even the military, I guess, come to think of it, like with the sort of things, that those little songs they chant while they're marching.
My mama said, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, that one. That classic ballad. Yeah, it's like a community building thing. They're all sort of syncing up and becoming one body under the music. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there are, like I said, there are people who point to that and say there is a purpose. There is a reason why all of us have this, what they think, innate ability to understand music, and to incorporate it in our lives. And if you look at the importance of music, especially with memory, we were talking about a little bit earlier with the medial front cortex, that's where all your memories are stored. They're finding that Alzheimer's patients and dementia patients are responding really well to musical therapy, because when they hear pieces of music, it actually helps them to sort of unlock the box, you know, crack it open, access their memories again, and actually helping them to increase their short-term and long-term memory, which is really cool.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Yeah. And then you've got stroke victims who they may be able to understand what you're saying, but they can't. Their use of language is gone. They can't express themselves. And they've been singing in some studies what they're trying to say, phrases. And in some cases, they can sing 200, 300 phrases. They may on a sort of road to recovery and being able to eventually speak again.
Huh.
Yeah. So music is
now,
definitely.
Are they singing what they want to say, or are they singing things?
Yeah.
From okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, there's a documentary called The Music Intuition.
Okay.
And they show a woman who is going through therapy, and the woman that's working with her says, okay, now suppose that your 2-year-old daughter is about to run down the street. What do you say? And she sings, wait for me. But
oh, wow.
She could never say, wait for me, you know? So she's regaining that ability through music.
It's interesting, because we were actually talking the other day about how it might be a little difficult if we were to do a musical episode of the podcast. But for someone who's having to reclaim their speech, like, music is the inroad to speaking again.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And so that's again, where the mystery is sort of coming in, because you know, again, this is a fairly new field of study. 10 years ago, people didn't necessarily know that music could access your brain in these ways. And I'm also thinking about another therapy session. This was done by neuroscientist David Soto. He had 60 stroke victims who sustained damage to their parietal cortex, which is related to visual and spatial processing. And it was very unusual in that the victims lost half of their spatial awareness, and some of them would eat food on only one side of their mouth, or they would shave only one side of their face.
Wow.
Yeah. So their perception's way off. So what happened is, when Soto played music that made them happy, they, during their therapy, they were actually able to increase their abilities and be able to perceive more. And the interesting thing about this is that they played a couple of different pieces of music, but the ones that were most popular were Frank Sinatra and Kenny Rogers.
Oh.
And guess, of the two, who had the better results with the victims?
I'm thinking Frank probably took more of a firm hand with him.
Okay. I would think so, too. Fly Me to the Moon, very uplifting.
Yeah.
Kenny Rogers.
Oh, please tell me it was early Kenny Rogers, at least.
I don't know.
The fifth edition? Was it the fifth edition?
You know, that's in the land of Lady Gaga for me. I'm sorry.
You know, just stepped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, I do know that one. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's like his best track.
I bet that probably is the one that...
I would hope so.
Yeah, well, yeah. We hope, yeah. But that, yeah, they thought about actually renaming it the Kenny Rogers Effect. No joke. I'm not kidding. But that kind of points to the fact that when you are happy, when you're listening to music, you've got the release of dopamines, and that when you have the release of dopamines, that you've actually got more neural resources. So that's what they're seeing there with the stroke victims, is that it was actually allowing them to perform a skill set that they didn't necessarily have before.
That's interesting. There've also been some studies into how music can be used for people suffering from chronic heart disease.
Okay.
And the results are not set in stone on this one, but scientists have found that that like in a study that had like about 1,400 participants, they found that it had a moderate effect on anxiety in patients with CHD, chronic heart disease. But the results were kind of inconsistent across the studies. But that listening to music reduces heart rate, respiratory rate, and blood pressure. In other words, a calming effect on the body.
Okay.
Which can have can be very medicinal given certain conditions such as chronic heart disease. And then I've also saw a few studies talking about its use in treating depression or anxiety. And again, part of it comes down to if anybody has ever meditated to music or used music as a relaxation tool, obviously knows the relaxing effects of music, but that very effect can have a clinical use as well. They've also found that in some therapies, it's kind of like music is, music is a universal language, to sort of use a cliche term there. But if you have a person who's not very receptive to therapy, and maybe not that receptive to just one-on-one, verbal communication, music can kind of break down doors. It's something they can instantly get, and it's less threatening to them. So that's one of the benefits that experts have found with music therapy.
On the opposite side of the coin, I just have to mention that I ran across this study of mice and meth.
Oh, yes.
I wish that were the title of it, but that's actually wasn't. Of mice and meth, that they took these mice and they put them on meth, and then they gave some of them a quiet space, and some of them they just blasted really loud music. And they wanted to see if the toxicity levels would rise with the really loud music.
It's a very particular study.
Well, what they were trying to do is say that if you're on meth and you're at a nightclub, that it can actually be much more dangerous to you. This is the what they posit, because it enhances the toxic effects of meth, the loud music. And I thought, wow, that's so disturbing. And poor mice. I've got to say that we need to start cataloging all of the little indignities that they have to suffer in the name of science.
Yeah. Also, we can figure out our drug habits, culture.
Yeah. So that, like I said, on the flip side there, I mean, yes, like you said, it can be very healing, but I mean, music is powerful in the sense that it could illuminate, other areas of your brain. I shouldn't say illuminate. I should say, and enhance those parts of your brain if you happen to be on meth and you are a mouse.
Okay. So you mice out there.
Quick little diversion there. So I think what all of this is pointing to is that we have something called neuroplasticity.
Okay. And this just means that the brain is not set in stone, that it's that our neural architecture can change, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is like the really incredible message of all of this, is that if you can help someone who has Parkinson's, get back on the road to therapy with music because it's stimulating parts of their brain that they didn't know it could stimulate before, what can it do to our own brains? What can we, going forward, learn from this?
Yeah, and just also the message too that when you're listening to music, it's like we tend to sort of think like, oh, music's something I listen to it in the background, it's playing in the car, or I turn it on to just chill out or rock out in the afternoon or whatever, however you view it. But something really deeper is going on. You're sort of recharging your mind, rewriting your mind even. Depending on what you're listening to and how you listen to it.
Right. Your emotions are being provoked and you may not even know it.
Yeah.
You might be in the elevator listening to elevator music. So, music is manipulation too in that sense. And we're in a day and age where we're surrounded by it. And, thankfully for me, I feel like we're in a day and age where we have access to so much music. At the same time,
yeah.
It's ubiquitous.
Yeah, it is everywhere, and it's just there's so much great music out there, and one of the, I think the good things about the internet is that, yeah, it's like you can explore so much. Whereas like when I was in high school, I had like the worst musical taste because I had so little to pull from, you know?
Right. Yeah. And this is interesting too. I found this out that perfect pitch in Western cultures, 14% of the population is represented, which is minuscule, right? People who have perfect pitch. But in Asian cultures, that it's actually 70%.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's one theorist who comes at it by saying that those languages are microtonal. And in fact, think about it this way. Have you ever heard Chinese opera?
Yes.
Okay. Probably the first time you heard it, did it seem sort of jarring and maybe even off-key?
I would say, and no offense to people who love it, but every time I've heard it, it sounds jarring and off-key.
Okay. So, and I think that's because we're all, you know, creating these neural pathways, right?
Uh-huh.
And neural systems of understanding of music. And so what you're exposed to as a Westerner is probably what your preference is going to be. And so if you, as an Asian, have a microtonal language, then what that's basically doing for you is giving you a more nuanced understanding of pitch, tone, melody, rhythm.
Huh.
And so the idea is that that puts you in a lot better position to be able to have perfect pitch and detect it, which is another very cool crossroads, I think, of language and music, and something that we have to reconsider how music works with language in its own right.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So that was sort of exciting to me.
Yeah. No, I will. I do have to stress, I do like a lot of Asian music, just not Chinese, like court orchestra type stuff.
Well, sure. Yeah. But I get it.
And
it's not first on my playlist.
Yeah, it's all a little jarring. So if you want to know more about these topics, go to the howstuffworks.com website and check out Is There a Link Between Music and Happiness by Molly Edmonds. And if you happen to, hit the video store, if you're tuning into PBS or you just use Netflix, especially Netflix streaming, you can watch the documentary, The Music Instinct, Science and Song. It is a fascinating, 2 hours?
Yeah.
And it really hits, it's like some of the stuff we've talked about, but then a whole other area too.
Yeah. Bobby McFerrin is, I guess you would say, sort of the host of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's at least a co-host in it.
And yeah.
They get pretty heavy into the neurological implications of music and what it says, what it might say in the future. Really, really good, show. Check it out.
Yep. And Music in Space.
Music in space. Yes.
Yeah. So if you've got an earworm that you would like to let us know about, we want to hear about it.
Yeah. And I'm interested to know if anybody else out there has the situation where most of their earworms are non-lyrical.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I've met anybody else that has that. Not that I'm patting myself on the back for being strange or anything, but I feel like other
just
people
just patted
have
himself on the back.
But some other people have to have that too, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let us know.
You can email us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, where you can also find us as Blow the Mind. Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find, for the fun of it, kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.